Is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, the Republican National Convention. I'm Daria Albinger. It's the final night of the event, and it will end with Donald Trump accepting the party's nomination for president. Montana Senator Steve Daines among the early speakers.
Never forget, these liberal senators voted to impeach President Trump twice. And I will tell you, an America First majority will stand with President Trump.
The delegates will hear from pro wrestler Hulk Hogan and the chair of the UFC, Dana White, before the former president addresses the delegates. ABC's Stephen Portnoy has a preview.
In a call with ABC's Jonathan Carl earlier this week, Donald Trump said instead of an angry humdinger, he'll deliver a unifying message to the country. It'll be the first time we'll publicly hear from the former president since the assassination attempt last weekend.
And Kid Rock is going to perform. This is ABC News. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says applications allowing workers to access the paychecks in advance are essentially providing a loan, and they should be subject to the Truth in Lending Act. The agency's proposed a rule that would let borrowers compare products. There's a lot to be learned from Amazon's two-day sales, specifically how shoppers shop.
Prime Day's record haul was expected, $14.2 billion over the 2 days, according to Adobe Analytics. What opened eyes, the near-even split between people shopping on desktops and mobile devices. Smaller screen buyers spent $7 billion over the 2 days, helping to continue the boost for online shopping. Amazon expects users to spend more than $84 billion this month and $732 billion through the first 9 months of the year. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Stocks closed lower today. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Max Inc. Radio.
If you enjoy great guitar, you won't want to miss Milwaukee's Mojo Perry. He's in studio for our live Saturday night concert. I'm Terry Barr. Join me, rocker, and Jimmy K.
Weekend evenings, 6 until midnight. Matt and Air on Air.
Project 2025, it's going to drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn. She says, well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do. And it's scary, especially when we're talking about firing more than 50,000 civil employees and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Some big Wisconsin political figures say they would work for Donald Trump if he wins the White House again. Former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark said there aren't any plans in motion, but if he was asked, of course he would serve in a new Republican administration. During Trump's first term in office, Clark was considered for a post in the Department of Homeland Security. He withdrew his acceptance when news surfaced that he plagiarized his master's thesis. And former Governor Scott Walker is currently president of the group Young Americans for Freedom. He didn't rule out the idea. And Wisconsin has broken another employment record. New numbers from the Department of Workforce Development show the highest employment rate ever last month. The previous record was from May. Governor Tony Evers credited programs that strengthen the workforce through added access to education and fast-tracking licensing. That's been a big focus of his administration as governor. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson for Civic Media News.
A Milwaukee Bucks player recovering from surgery. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Athletic reporting that the Bucks' Chris Middleton recovering from arthroscopic surgery to both of his ankles this summer. Middleton dealt with sprained ankles this past year, but is expected to be ready for the start of this season. Middleton turns 33 next month. NFL, Quinn Meinerz grew up in Heartland, Wisconsin, played football at UW-Whitewater, has just signed a new 4-year contract with the Denver Broncos worth $80 million, making him one of the highest paid guards in the league. Packers Packers training camp beginning next week. Jordan Love in Milwaukee holding a youth camp talked about one that he went to as a kid growing up in California.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, I think back my hometown, Derek Carr and David Carr both had a camp that I went to as a kid. So that was something that, you know, impacted me at a young age. And those are two guys that I looked up to and were from my hometown. And I think it was awesome. So that's something I've definitely looked forward to be able to do now that I'm in the same position as them.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the upper 50s. And mostly sunny and pleasant for tomorrow, high upper 70s to 80. And around 80 this weekend, slight storm chance. Temps will stay pretty close to 80 as we look into early next week, a little more humid, and still a chance of storms.
Right now, it's 78 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, my good friend Sandy Williams and I will give our final thoughts on the RNC wrapping up in Milwaukee. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is a Civic Media News special report. Everything you need to know live from the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Now your hosts, Todd Alba and Civic Media News Director Terry Bell.
Good evening and welcome once again from downtown Milwaukee on this, the final night of the Republican National Convention and the final night of our special coverage on Civic Media. We thank you for joining us all week long. I'm Terry Bell. Todd Alba is with me as well at Wisconsin Media Row at the Panther Arena. And over the next hour, we're going to give you the facts and the flavor of what happened at the convention today and some perspective from our analysts in a few minutes. But first, once again, let's welcome Todd Alba, the host of the Todd Alba Show. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Terry. Great to be with you once again and all the folks listening across the state of Wisconsin and around the world streaming on the Civic Media app. I am coming to you live from Wisconsin Media Row, where it's been another busy day here at Panther Arena. Several Wisconsin Republican politicians made their way through the arena, including former Governor Tommy Thompson and Wisconsin's senior U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. But Terry, the biggest political news may not be coming out of Pfizer Forum next door tonight, which is getting very busy, by the way. Already, some of the news organizations here in Panther, where a lot of the media has been located, are already breaking down. Everything tonight, all the excitement, all the attention moves over to Pfizer Forum tonight. But the big news tonight may be coming out of Delaware, where President Biden is self-isolating after being diagnosed with COVID-19. And we have new news, new reporting tonight, Terry. And again, this may well overshadow what's happening across the way at Pfizer Forum.
You're absolutely right, Todd. And one wonders, you know, how this might overshadow what is supposed to be President Trump's big night. I think one thing you're going to hear tonight is the president, the former president, I should say, comparing him and his situation with that of the current president. I think you're going to hear him, say that, that he has overcome a difficult situation where the current president is maybe being overwhelmed by his current situation. I think you're going to hear a lot of contrasts coming up in the days and weeks ahead. So it's been much of the talk here today, even though, this is the Republican convention. It's the Democratic president that's on the minds of a lot of people. And not only are Republicans in town, but so are many top Democrats, including some top officials from the Biden campaign who were in Milwaukee and held a press conference earlier today. We're going to hear from Quinton Fulks, Biden deputy campaign manager, and California Senator Alex Padilla. He's the campaign advisory board member for the Biden-Harris campaign. And here are just a few moments from that press conference earlier today about the situation with the president.
Hi, thank you. I have a question for Quinton and one for the senator. Quinton, first, how is the president doing today? And then also, there are reports that he's more receptive to conversations about leaving the race. And I see you smiling. Is that true? And is the campaign working on scenarios where Vice President Harris would take the lead? And then also, for Senator Padilla, your future colleague in the Senate, Adam Schiff, put out a statement calling on President Biden to pass the torch. He seems very concerned, as do many of your colleagues, that the president is going to bring the whole party down with him. Do you believe that it is sustainable for the president to stay in the race?
So on the first question, the president is feeling fine. He is self-isolating in Delaware. He's continuing to make calls and do work. He has some official meetings today, a lot of campaign calls that he's getting through. I think some Zoom calls that he's hopping on potentially. And as for the second question, look, the vice president is a part of the Biden-Harris ticket. Our campaign is not working through any scenarios where President Biden is not the top of the ticket. He is and will be the Democratic nominee. I think when it comes to if he is open or being receptive to any of that, look, the president has said it several times. He's staying in this race. I talk to the president every single day in some form of Zoom or phone call. He's usually fact-checking me on a statistic that I got wrong. 15.5 million jobs is very different than 16 million. But the president is in this race. He is going to, and we look forward to him accepting the delegates in Chicago and continuing with this race to talk about what's at stake.
And I'll just add, yes, I know President Biden well. He's not skipping a beat. He may have to ice a little bit because of COVID. And that shouldn't surprise anybody. Look, I represent California. COVID numbers are up. It's part of our new reality. But Paxlovid, yes. Bleach, no. I'll say that again in case you didn't get it. Paxlovid, yes. Bleach, no. And so he's going to continue the work, even if it's via phone, via Zoom. He's got a tremendous day job. Let's not forget about that. And he's continuing to aggressively campaign. Now, to your question about my colleague to be Adam Schiff, who I've known for many years, respect tremendously, but couldn't disagree more on this issue. I mean, for anybody wondering whether President Biden is committed, members of Congress got a letter last week, week and a half ago. He's thought about it, he's been approached, and he's decided. I know, having spoken to him personally, he's committed to the campaign, he's committed to winning in November because we want to continue the progress we've made under his leadership and because we know the dangers of Donald Trump. Look, as far as the campaign goes, nobody's predicting a landslide this November in any direction. It was a very close race 4 years ago, and it's going to be a close race this November. But the numbers that I've seen, the data that I've seen, the polls that I've seen show that this is we're more than in the ball game. But we have 109 days left, and we need everybody in our team working hard, talking to voters, organizing, mobilizing, getting ready to get out the vote, because there's too much at stake this November to do otherwise.
And that is the situation as it stood a few hours ago. Todd Albaugh, what have you learned since then?
Terry, we have been on the phones to our sources, and let me begin with this, and then I'll follow it up. This is from Mark Halperin. He is breaking this down, some breaking news. We have confirmed several of these points, but let me go through them in order. And this just shows you how fluid this is. You were in this press conference this afternoon. Look, these Democratic representatives are here for a purpose. They're given orders from on high. That's not unusual. But here is what multiple sources are outlining at this hour, at the 7 o'clock hour. There are plans to announce a withdrawal from the nomination as early as this weekend by Joe Biden, with now looking like Sunday is the most likely date. John Meacham is reportedly polishing up the remarks. John Meacham, of course, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author, written several autobiographies. He is a remarkable writer. He is said to be involved. It is said that President Biden will not resign the presidency. In other words, he plans to or intends to finish out his current term. Also, it is being reported tonight through our sources that President Biden will not endorse Vice President Harris for the nomination. There are reports amongst Democratic officials it will be an open convention with Vice President Harris and about three others kind of fighting it out. Also, the superdelegates will not be allowed to vote on the first ballot. Perhaps later on we can have Matt Rothschild, a Democrat who's more in tune to Democratic policies than I, but superdelegates are reportedly not being allowed to vote on the first ballot at the convention a month from now in Chicago, which Civic Media will be at. Also at this hour, it is being reported that Vice President Kamala Harris is vetting at least four possible running mates, including Andy Beshear, the governor of Kentucky, more on that in a minute, and also possibly the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro. Although reports are that Governor Shapiro is not warming up to the idea right now of being the vice president, presidential nominee under Vice President Harris. This is a very fluid situation. Here's what we can also tell you. According to Weijia Zhang at CBS News, two senior House Democrats have told Major Garrett, the chief White House correspondent for CBS, that they expect the question of Biden's candidacy to be resolved in 3 to 5 days. Each day of indecision will lead to more public calls for him to step aside. Of course, the caveat is, and has always been, that the choice is ultimately up to Joe Biden. And finally, from The Hill, about an hour ago, according to The Hill, this is a publication in Washington, D.C., well-connected Democratic Party insiders say they expect President Biden to make a major announcement about his future soon after the Republican National Convention here in Milwaukee concludes, and that congressional leaders expect Vice President Harris will become their nominee for president if Biden drops his reelection bid. Among high-level Democratic strategists and donors now saying that they're turning to Vice President Harris and who will be her running mate. It's boiled down, according to The Hill, to Mark Kelly, Democratic Senator of Arizona, and also, once again, Andy Beshear, Democratic Governor of Kentucky, and also being thrown into the mix now at this hour, North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper. So, and I've been working the phones, Terry, on my sources, both Republican and Democratic. I've run through this list with them. I have said, is this real? Is this actual legit? My sources tonight, Terry, are telling me that many, if not all, the things I just ran down have been confirmed by them, and they expect President Biden to withdraw from the race this weekend.
Todd, of all the things you just said, the one that stood out to me is that President Biden, at last check, was not planning to endorse Kamala Harris. What do you read into that?
I think it's there's a lot of, and again, perhaps Matt Rothschild can comment better, being involved more intimately in Democratic Party politics. But I think there's a sense there that perhaps a coronation, if you will, an anointment, if you will, by Joe Biden wouldn't necessarily serve Kamala Harris well politically, that it may look stronger. It may unify the Democratic Party if this kind of comes more organically rather than Joe Biden just saying this is who it's going to be. Remember, we've talked all week, Terry, you and I, also our panelists, about the fact that this Republican convention here in Milwaukee has solidified at least the delegates, the red meters, if you will. They are behind Donald Trump 100%, lock, stock, and barrel. They are energized. Can the Democrats do that in Chicago next month at their national convention? And perhaps the thinking, Terry, is that if it's fought out a little bit, if Kamala Harris, quote-unquote, earns it, that may unify the Democratic base more than a coronation.
What I've heard many Republicans say on Media Row today, and I think you're going to hear in the days and weeks to come, is exactly what you just said, is that the Republican Party is very unified behind Donald Trump, and that Democrats, you know, are uncertain and debating amongst themselves and in a bit of a position of weakness. And I think the Republicans here are smelling blood, if you will. I don't know if that's necessarily a good metaphor for this, but they sense a weakness, and they're going to be very aggressive about exploiting it. You're listening to special coverage of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. We'll be right back.
Eagle 1490 AM.
The Republican National Convention is being held in Milwaukee, and it marks the first time the RNC is in the Badger State. But Wisconsin holds a special spot in the election cycle, with the RNC the second consecutive political convention in Milwaukee. The city was picked for the Democratic National Convention in 2020, but due to COVID, most of it ended up being virtual. Do you know which city has hosted the most political conventions? Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston? The answer coming up. Political conventions started in the 19th century. It remained the main way to select candidates until 1972, when presidential primaries determined the eventual nominee. Conventions are now considered more of a celebration of the candidate. So do you know which city has held the most political conventions? Chicago. The Republicans have been there 14 times, and the Democratic convention will be hosted there for the 11th time this summer. 50,000 people expected at the RNC in Milwaukee, a nice slice of Wisconsin for the country to see. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio. You're listening to a Civic Media News special report. Everything you need to know live from the Republican National Convention. Once again, here's Todd Alba and Terry Bell.
Welcome back to Civic Media's special coverage. I'm Terry Bell with Todd Alba, and we're going to take a listen back at some of the highlights today. The big story today are the decisions, the discussions that are happening around President Biden's future in this campaign. But the Republicans and their critics and opponents had plenty to do and say today, too. So let's have a listen to some of our coverage from today.
Republicans hope J.D. Vance helps the party make gains with young adults starting out in life. State Representative Nick Redinger is 33. He says young adults are feeling more welcome in the GOP.
Because for a very, very long time, a lot of folks were like decades older than them. And so I think the Republican Party becoming younger and younger is absolutely to our advantage, and really, really excited about the direction we're taking.
Redinger says Republicans have better solutions to the problems young adults face.
Whether it's home ownership, whether it's lack of salary development, the struggles in trying to start families because of all of that. And I think we are going to see a massive swing in young voters in our direction because of that.
Vance is 39 years old, one of the youngest people ever to run for vice president. Republican leaders are defending two fake electors who are part of Wisconsin's RNC delegation. There was a heated exchange between a reporter and state party chair Brian Schimming this morning.
Somebody knew what they were doing, so...
That's not my issue right now.
Schemed to overturn this, this vote.
Okay, but that's not our issue right now, and I will tell you, that's, first of all, don't yell at me.
Pam Travis, Bob Spindell, and eight other fake electors publicly admitted Donald Trump asked them to try to overturn Joe Biden's victory in Wisconsin in 2020.
Those people who stepped up and stepped into those roles certainly didn't feel, and the folks who organized it certainly didn't feel, that they were doing anything wrong, or they wouldn't have done it.
The fake electors could still face potential criminal charges. Attorney General Josh Call says his office is looking into it. Democrats, in the meantime, spent the day drawing attention to the Republicans' Project 2025. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
There is something that is horrible right on display here in Milwaukee, and that is Project 2025. Trump, J.D. Vance, and their MAGA allies' agenda to destroy our democracy. They want to gut checks and balances. They want to solidify power in the Oval Office, and they want to raise costs for hardworking Wisconsinites while cutting taxes for the rich and powerful. Now, Trump may be trying to distance himself from this now, but this was not only his, but this was his team's pet project. He can't hide from this reality, especially right here in Wisconsin. The people of Wisconsin know exactly how extreme and dangerous Trump really is.
A 98-year-old World War II veteran from Wisconsin is urging support for Donald Trump. William Peckrell has two Bronze Stars and a Silver Star.
People say, America is an idea, but I believe America is much more than that. America is our home. And President Trump, back in Commander-in-Chief, I would go back to re-enlist today, and I would storm whatever beach my country needs me to.
William Peckrell has two Bronze Stars and a Silver Star. An aircraft on its way to Oshkosh flew into restricted airspace around the RNC yesterday afternoon. An F-35 fighter jet found the craft in question and safely escorted it out of the area.
And Todd, those are just a few of the highlights of what happened today at the Republican National Convention, the last day of the convention, which of course culminates in President Trump's nomination acceptance speech. That will happen later tonight.
Yes, it will happen later tonight, and it's going to be very interesting, Terry Bell, to see how this speech, if there are any last-minute changes. Of course, former President Trump has said that he wanted to take, to borrow a phrase from George H.W. Bush, a kinder, gentler tone tonight in his nomination acceptance speech, as opposed to kind of the more rough-and-tumble, aggressive tone he's had in most of his speeches since even before he became president. We'll see if that happens tonight. Also, this news that we talked about at the top of the show here of the reports of sitting President Joe Biden may withdraw sometime this weekend or shortly thereafter. Certainly the Trump people have this same knowledge. Do they adjust the speech to make it not so much a speech attacking someone they might not end up even running against, but do they put in more kind of digs and takes on Kamala Harris or the Democratic agenda, the platform in general? How does Trump and his team adjust to this new news tonight, and do they work it into the speech, or do they go with what he already has written and most likely has practiced? So we'll be looking for that as well tonight, as well as the other people going to the stage tonight. I mean, you have Diane Hendrickson going out on the stage tonight from Wisconsin. The Janesville area Republican who has the ABC Builders, hundreds of millions of dollars, have given all kinds of money to the Trump campaign and, of course, Republican causes over the years. Republicans are billing Diane Hendricks as an everyday American. Well, I don't know, Terry. Last time I checked, not everyday Americans had, you know, several hundred million dollars in the bank. Here it is, everyday American, they call Diane Hendricks. I think she may have already spoken. Later on, you're also going to have Hulk Hogan on the dais tonight. Here's a guy who in 2007 used the N-word and got into a lot of trouble over his feelings and comments over black Americans. He's going to be out there tonight as well, and along with UFC president Dana White is actually the person that's going to be introducing Trump on the stage. We know this. Trump is a showman. He loves a spectacle. He loves a show, and viewers and listeners tonight can expect exactly that.
It'll also be interesting to see how he invokes Saturday's assassination attempt, whether he'll make anything of it, and if he does, what he'll make of it. I would suspect he probably will. I think that he will be eager to show his surviving that assassinated attempt as a show of strength as compared to the situation that President Biden finds himself right in right now. So I don't think he'll shy away from that. And I'm sure there are last-minute tweaks being made to his speech, but Donald Trump is known to, you know, stray from the script and the teleprompter, and he likes to speak extemporaneously. So we'll see how much of that he does tonight.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking all week as well that there's a bit of Orwellian out here atmosphere of this theocracy. I mean, I was part of the Republican Party for 30 years until I left in 2011. I can tell you there's always been this kind of religious part of the Republican Party, but it was always kind of a sideshow, for lack of a better term. As Trigvi Olson, who's been with us most of the week from the Lincoln Project, himself a former Wisconsin Republican, said, this week here at the RNC in Milwaukee is a capitulation from the old Republican Party of Reagan and Tommy Thompson and Dwight Eisenhower to the mega Trump Republican Party, which mixes in this theocracy in it as well. Does he claim this is a sign from God tonight on the podium tonight and kind of work in more of this theocracy? Franklin Graham, the son of longtime, he was called the pastor to the presidents, Billy Graham, his son Franklin, is going to be on the stage tonight, literally and figuratively anointing Donald Trump in the name of God to be president. This is a very different overtone from the days of Ronald Reagan and certainly either George H.W. or George W. Bush.
Oh, absolutely. It'll be interesting also tonight to hear what he talks about policy as well as tone. He's laid out a series of policy proposals for a second term. tariffs on all imports, mass deportations of immigrants living in the country without permission, an increase in domestic drilling for fuel, and pulling back support for Ukraine. There's much more to come. We hope you'll stay with us. You're listening to special coverage of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Don't go away.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
This is a special report from ABC News, the Republican National Convention. I'm Daria Albinger. It's the final night of the event, and it will end with Donald Trump accepting the party's nomination for president. Montana Senator Steve Daines among the early speakers.
Never forget, these liberal senators voted to impeach President Trump twice. And I will tell you, an America First majority will stand with President Trump.
The delegates will hear from pro wrestler Hulk Hogan and the chair of the UFC, Dana White, before the former president addresses the delegates. ABC's Stephen Portnoy has a preview.
In a call with ABC's Jonathan Carl earlier this week, Donald Trump said instead of an angry humdinger, he'll deliver a unifying message to the country. It'll be the first time we'll publicly hear from the former president since the assassination attempt last weekend.
And Kid Rock is going to perform. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Some big Wisconsin political figures say they would work for Donald Trump if he wins the White House again. Former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark said there aren't any plans in motion, but if he was asked, of course he would serve in a new Republican administration. During Trump's first term in office, Clark was considered for a post in the Department of Homeland Security. He withdrew his acceptance when news surfaced that he plagiarized his master's thesis. And former Governor Scott Walker is currently president of the group Young Americans for Freedom. He didn't rule out the idea. And Wisconsin has broken another employment record. New numbers from the Department of Workforce Development show the highest employment rate ever last month. The previous record was from May. Governor Tony Evers credited programs that strengthen the workforce through added access to education and fast-tracking licensing. That's been a big focus of his administration as governor. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson for Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Some big Wisconsin political figures say they would work for Donald Trump if he wins the White House again. Former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark said there aren't any plans in motion, but if he was asked, of course he would serve in a new Republican administration. During Trump's first term in office, Clark was considered for a post in the Department of Homeland Security. He withdrew his acceptance when news surfaced that he plagiarized his master's thesis. And former Governor Scott Walker is currently president of the group Young Americans for Freedom. He didn't rule out the idea. And Wisconsin has broken another employment record. New numbers from the Department of Workforce Development show the highest employment rate ever last month. The previous record was from May. Governor Tony Evers credited programs that strengthen the workforce through added access to education and fast-tracking licensing. That's been a big focus of his administration as governor. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson for Civic Media News.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the upper 50s. And mostly sunny and pleasant for tomorrow, high upper 70s to 80. And around 80 this weekend, slight storm chance. Temps will stay pretty close to 80 as we look into early next week, a little more humid, and still a chance of storms.
Right now, it's 78 degrees.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you can easily find coverage options that fit your budget. If only it was that easy to name your baby.
How about Jaden?
Nope.
Okay, Michael?
Went to middle school with a glue-eating Michael.
Sebastian?
Dated one in college.
How about Damien?
Vampire name.
All right, Greg?
Not feeling it.
Okay, no worries. Jeffrey?
Oh, love that one.
Wait, really?
No.
Find coverage options that fit your budget with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
At Uline, they know going the extra mile takes hard work. For companies pushing to go further, Uline will go the distance with you. 24/7, they answer the phone to get you the shipping and industrial supplies you need. Business can move fast. Unexpected large orders, adverse weather. new safety guidelines, and changing economic trends, Uline works hard keeping 41,000 items ready to ship, minimizing detours on your way to the extra mile. Visit uline.com.
Maggie Dawn.
Folks, I'm taking a little bit of a vacation, but do not worry. You'll be in excellent hands with Matt Rothschild and Jim Santel as your guest hosts. Stay tuned.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to a Civic Media News special report. Everything you need to know live from the Republican National Convention. Once again, here's Todd Alba and Terry Bell.
Welcome back to Civic Media's special coverage of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. The last night of the convention and the last night of coverage. Later tonight, President Trump will formally accept the Republican Party nomination for president and what's going to be the beginning of a very interesting few days and weeks in the presidential campaign. As you may have heard earlier in the broadcast, and in case you haven't, talks seem to be intensifying about the possibility of President Biden dropping out of the race and another Democrat would take up the mantle for the party in the campaign against Donald Trump. Tommy Thompson, the former governor of Wisconsin, one of the many Republican luminaries here in Milwaukee for the convention, had some thoughts on the matter.
As a Republican, would you rather run against President Biden or someone else?
I've never thought that Joe Biden was going to be the candidate. I just don't, you know, I think you're going to see sometime next week or within the next 10 days, Joe Biden's going to resign.
He's going to resign from office or
no,
just step aside from the ticket?
Step aside.
And that jibes with your reporting from earlier in the broadcast, Todd, that President Biden, if he were to make a decision, would not be to leave office, but rather merely leave the reelection campaign.
Correct. And many thanks to CBS 58 here in Milwaukee's A.J. Biaport for that sound that we're able to use with former Governor Thompson, who made his way again through Wisconsin Media Row. And, you know, those who know Tommy, he was being Tommy. He works everybody in the room, including the security guard and the high school and college volunteers, stopping to shake hands and say hi to everybody. So he was in rare form today here at Panther Arena. But to that point, Terry, again, the reporting that we're hearing is this could come possible withdrawal by President Biden as the nominee or the candidate for the Democrats as soon as this weekend, but certainly within the next 3 to 5 days is what we're hearing or being told. And it was interesting now that the limelight may shift even more to Vice President Kamala Harris, obviously, if she is either endorsed by President Biden, should he step aside, or if there's some sort of a mini kind of go at it against each other in politically speaking in Chicago coming up next week. But focus is going to her. This is about a 2-minute cut here. I want to take this and we'll get our panel's reaction to it. This is Kamala Harris on the campaign trail today, the vice president, responding to now the Republican nominee for Vice President J.D. Vance's speech last night. Here is Vice President Harris.
There is so much at stake. Last night was the latest example. So some of you may have heard Donald Trump's running mate deliver remarks at the Republican National Convention. He talked about his life story about growing up in Southwest Ohio, and it was compelling. It's a compelling story. And it was not the full story. Frankly, what is very telling is what he did not talk about on that stage. He did not talk about Project 2025, their 900-page blueprint for a second Trump term. He did not talk about it because their plans are extreme and they are divisive. In recent days, they've been trying to portray themselves as the party of unity. But here's the thing, If you claim to stand for unity, you need to do more than just use the word. You cannot claim you stand for unity if you are pushing an agenda that deprives whole groups of Americans of basic freedoms, opportunity, and dignity? You cannot claim you stand for unity if you are intent on taking reproductive freedoms from the people of America and the women of America. Trying to ban abortion nationwide as they do and restrict access to IVF and contraception as their plan calls for. You cannot claim to be for unity if you try to overturn a free and fair election and threaten to terminate the United States Constitution. And you cannot claim to be for unity when your entire agenda is designed to prioritize billionaires and big corporations over the middle class.
That was Vice President Kamala Harris on the campaign trail after J.D. Vance's speech last night. Terry Bell, I think it'd be interesting to bring our panel in now and get their reactions to that and also the news of the day when it comes to the news about President Biden possibly, keyword possibly, deciding to withdraw from the race.
Absolutely, Todd. Scott Klug is a former Republican U.S. congressman from South Central Wisconsin and a longtime broadcast journalist before that. And Matt Rothschild, formerly of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and The Progressive. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, good evening, guys.
Hey, nice to be with you.
Well, you know, someone once said, may you live in interesting times, which is a backhanded, pleasant thing to say. We are living in interesting times. And what is your take on this very interesting day?
Well, I think that maybe more of a curse than a blessing. And here we are. But, you know, I actually think Biden's toast. I don't think he can survive politically this weekend. I think the reports that Todd was giving at the top of the hour are accurate, that the pressure just got to be too much. I mean, that was a fatal debate performance he had 3 weeks ago. He hasn't been able to recover from it. And his allies in the Democratic Party and the powerhouses in the Democratic Party have just relentlessly pushed in public and in private. And the polls have been bad. The money's dried up. You know, Jamie Raskin from Maryland wrote that letter talking about the pitcher with the sore arm after all his 115 pitches or whatever. And I was reminded of Ernie Banks in his last year of baseball batting like 190. I mean, it's just a fact, a demonstrable fact that Biden's over the hill and he's not a good candidate. And I think Democrats recognize that. After that horrible debate, I know I recognized it after the horrible debate. I was in total panic mode, as both of you know, when I came into the Civic Media office the next morning. And I think this is for the better for the Democrats.
Scott Klug?
Well, I'm not quite sure how this could come as a shock to everybody. Not that I'm going to crow on the air with Todd Elbaugh, but I'll remind him he lost a bet over this that we made some months ago. You know, if you look at the Wall Street Journal story in early June that was based on interviews with 44 people who'd been in meetings with Biden or been briefed on meetings with Biden over the last several months, they raised this very question. And I think his staff, frankly, should be ashamed of hiding this from the American people and apparently from the New York Times, who called the Wall Street Journal Republican talking points. And then 3 weeks later, suddenly told him he should leave the ticket. So I think this is Washington's dirty little secret and has been for a long time that he's not been up to the job. I mean, I'm not sure how you can be president of the United States when you have to take a nap in the afternoon and go to bed at 8 o'clock at night. So I think it's not totally unexpected. What was interesting to me in the debate performance is when the debate performance ended, I was actually up in St. Paul with my wife seeing our granddaughter. And when the debate ended, I went to grab a Coke and some popcorn. And by the time I walked in the room a minute and a half later, David Axelrod and every Democrat on the panel had completely thrown him under the bus, almost to the point where it looked to me like it was rehearsed. It didn't look spontaneous. It was too quick, too fast, and nobody defended Biden. So I agree with Terry and Todd are reporting tonight. I would suspect he'll not want to do it this weekend. I think they'll find an orderly way to do it the middle of next week.
Scott, always good to know when we're on the air together to remind people that I did work for you at one time back in the 90s, and you have a podcast.
We all make mistakes, Todd, both you and me. You working for me and me to continue to have you work for me. So.
But we did make a kind of a bet, a wager, I think, of whatever it was, a steak dinner, that I said that I thought Biden would be the nominee all the way through, and Klug said, no, I don't think he's going to make it all the way. So Scott had the insight long before other people did. Scott, as a Republican, look, you're a Republican. You're not on board the Trump train. You were here pitching the Lost in the Middle podcast. You were not here as a delegate. But as someone who knows Republican Party well, what does this do to the race? If Biden gets out, is this convention kind of, I don't want to say lost, but they've been going after Biden all week. Come next week, they might have gone after a guy who's not even on the ticket anymore.
Well, look, so the two big issues in this race and every poll you've seen over the last 90 days, the first one is the economy. And the Biden administration, I think, has tried to make the case that the economy is doing great. But if you look at what Americans say in, you know, Partyville and Dodgeville, they're going to tell you a meal with the kids at McDonald's is way up. And so I don't care what the White House is saying. In people's pocketbooks, it doesn't feel like a great economy. And then the second issue, and talk about the vice president trying to defend this one, is the record on immigration. I mean, it's been horrendous. And so the idea is that because Biden leaves, suddenly now the Democrats clean the slate. You know, like as Todd said, I am not on the Trump train. But what's going to define is the record of the Biden administration over the last 4 years and on the economy and on immigration, not me. The American public thinks they've done a miserable job.
That's an excellent reading of the issues, Scott Klug. But I'm wondering, you know, so much of modern campaigning is branding. And so many polls say that people don't like either Trump or Biden. Is there a Democrat out there that would be a likable alternative to Donald Trump?
I'll defer to Matt on this one. He knows his gang better than I do.
Matt?
Well, I think, you know, Kamala Harris has got is the odds on favorite to win the nomination at this point. But I think Gretchen Whitmer would be, you know, a good candidate. Mark Kelly would be a good candidate. You know, there are a lot of good candidates out there. But at this point, she's got the inside lane for sure. And also, there's another issue that really drives voter turnout in swing states, and that's the abortion issue. And Kamala Harris can speak to that and has spoken to that over the last many months very effectively. So, you know, I think the Republican Party has wasted a lot of ammunition on Biden here. I do wish that Biden hadn't handed over the immigration portfolio to Kamala Harris, because that was an impossible portfolio to handle and to solve as an issue. But I think she must be prepared for that, and I'm sure she has her responses down for that.
But wait a minute, is this just all perception? Guys, I'm going to push back on both of you a little bit because, I mean, there is quote-unquote illegal immigration is at a record low right now. It's actually gone down under Biden over the last few months. And as a matter of fact, there was a deal on the table, bipartisan deal, that Trump killed on immigration that would have been the biggest reform in years. Scott, when I worked for you in the 90s, I was down here in Milwaukee talking to Roger Lindo, who ran the immigration office. He said, our problem is both people in your party, the Republicans, and the Democrats, they don't want to put the money in to actually make this thing work anymore. Don't both sides deserve blame here?
Well, so you're right. I mean, I think it's disappointing that the House killed the Senate deal this time out and used it as a political issue. Now, here's the other side of the fact, though, Todd. There was a deal in 2006 when George Bush was president. And in that case, the House cut the deal and they sent it to the Senate. And Chuck Schumer killed it because they wanted it as a campaign issue for Barack Obama. And then that's why, in my mind, it's sort of a pox on both your houses. I mean, you get elected to do stuff, and your first assignment when you get elected is not to try to get reelected again. So I think both parties have fumbled it. And I'm not one who's big on political grandstanding, but I think the whole debate changed when the governor of Texas sent aliens to folks from the border and sent them to New York City and Chicago. And suddenly the sanctuary cities knew what it was like to deal with thousands of people streaming into your neighborhood.
I think Todd, Todd gave the answer for Kamala Harris, I think. So maybe she should just play that tape and incorporate it into her our next debate performance.
All the news and the discussion about the president stealing some thunder from the Republican nominee who accepts his nomination tonight. We'll talk more about that right after this. You're listening to Civic Media special coverage of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
The Republican National Convention is being held in Milwaukee, and it marks the first time the RNC is in the Badger State. But Wisconsin holds a special spot in the election cycle, with the RNC the second consecutive political convention in Milwaukee. The city was picked for the Democratic National Convention in 2020, but due to COVID, most of it ended up being virtual. Do you know which city has hosted the most political conventions? Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston? The answer coming up. Political conventions started in the 19th century. It remained the main way to select candidates until 1972, when presidential primaries determined the eventual nominee. Conventions are now considered more of a celebration of the candidate. So do you know which city has held the most political conventions? Chicago. The Republicans have been there 14 times, and the Democratic convention will be hosted there for the 11th time this summer. 50,000 people expected at the RNC in Milwaukee, a nice slice of Wisconsin for the country to see. I'm Terry.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. You're listening to a Civic Media News special report. Everything you need to know live from the Republican National Convention. Once again, here's Todd Alba and Terry Bell.
Welcome back, and we're also joined by Scott Klug and Matt Rothschild, our analysts tonight. Let's look ahead now. Donald Trump formally accepts the nomination. In a speech, according to Todd Alba's preview, may include as much theatrics as policy positions. The three of you, I'd be interested in hearing what you're expecting. Todd, we'll start with you.
Well, I think it's been classic Trump. I mean, I've admitted on the air, I was a huge fan of The Apprentice early on. I mean, nobody knows how to put on a show like Donald Trump. It's just a fact. And I think you're going to see a lot of that. I mean, you got Dana White, president of the UFC. It's going to be a show. And I think the question is, again, does Trump's team, do they adjust this speech and really go after Biden, or is it more after the Democratic platform? And also, does Trump try to be the old George H. Walker Bush, kinder and gentler? Can he pull that off? Those are the two things I'm looking for tonight. First Matt, then Scott.
Well, I think on the issues, he'll be anti-immigrant. That's been one of the main themes here. I think he'll be anti-trans. And I'm not buying this episode of Extreme Makeover that we've been forced to watch over the last 3 days. Turning Trump into the most sensitive man in America, the most selfless man in America, the hardest working president of all time. I mean, give me a break. I mean, this is put the bull in hyperbole.
Scott.
I think you'll hear actually a fairly statesman-like speech tonight. I think he's smart enough to read the mood in the country and read the room. I've been to a lot of conventions. Again, I'm not a big Trump fan. I have to say this is the happiest convention I've ever been to. People are just, I mean, happy with the way it's gone, happy with the way the campaign seems to be going. So I think he'll play into that. I think the gazillion-dollar question is, we get one Donald Trump speech tonight. What's the Donald Trump speech look like? And the vice president today, clearly, whatever lull there was in throwing punches after the shooting on Saturday, those gloves came off pretty quickly. So I think you'll hear a good speech from Trump tonight. And actually, I remember the best speech I've ever heard Trump give was right after he was elected president. And then it didn't take that long that we were back to Donald Trump, the showman, which I am not that much of a fan of.
It's probably notable that the former president's wife and his daughter are going to be in attendance tonight. They've been keeping their distance from this campaign. That changes somewhat tonight. I don't think they're down for speaking roles, but they will be in the former president's family's area at Fiserv Forum.
Yeah, it's been a... Go ahead, Scott.
I was just going to say it's part of the staging that Todd says. It would be odd if his wife wasn't there. And the same thing for his daughter. I don't think his wife has much passion for a second term. That's pretty obvious. But she'll be a good trooper and show up tonight.
Does she have much passion for her husband, period? That's my question.
Todd, even some things Democrats shouldn't tread into.
I'm an independent these days, Matt. Go ahead.
Well, it's just been a great disappearing act, Melania and Ivanka. But they'll be there. They couldn't really skip this, so they needed to be there.
What do you make, guys, of this lineup tonight? I mean, the RNC is somebody from Wisconsin, president or head of the ABC building in Janesville, big Republican giver, Diane Hendricks, worth hundreds of millions of dollars. She was billed as, quote unquote, an everyday American. Speaking from the platform today, I know a lot of everyday Americans from Richland Center and Shawano and Eau Claire. Not too many of them have $200 million in the bank, Matt.
Yeah, a huge donor to the Republican National Committee, a huge donor to Scott Walker. She's the woman who whispered into Scott Walker's ear before he dropped the bomb and did Act 10 saying, you know, when are you going to turn Wisconsin into a red state? When are you going to turn Wisconsin into a right to work state? But she's the richest woman in America, I believe, or the richest self-made woman in America. Not one of my favorite people, but I'm not surprised that she's got a speaking spot here.
Scott, give me your take on this, because this is something I'm curious about. You know, I've talked about it on our show a little bit. You know, back when I was involved working for you in Republican politics, there was always a faction of folks that were very religious, and that's fine. And look, I'm an imperfect Christian myself. But being here this week, the theocracy that's been embedded into this party now and the current iteration, you're having Franklin Graham coming out tonight and literally and figuratively anointing a guy that his dad, Billy Graham, I have to think is rolling over his grave thinking about. What do you take? What's the current iteration of the Trump Republican Party versus the Republican Party you were elected to in the 90s?
Well, the Republican Party has shifted a lot. There's been a complete realignment since the Clinton-Bush days, as in Bush Sr. So Bill Clinton would get just destroyed in Arkansas if he tried to run for Congress, much less president. And George H. Bush, George Sr., could not get elected in Maine because he's far too conservative for today's liberal Democratic voters in Maine. And as part of that realignment, the Republican Party pretty clearly, beginning in the 90s, embraced the evangelical side of the Christian church in America. And go back to the days of Pat Robertson, when he actually, I think he might have won the primary in Iowa somewhere along the way. So I don't think it's that much a change. I just think it's sort of a full-throttled embrace, but it's been there for a long time. It's one of the reasons, you know, ironically, the Republicans now own the South. And the Democrats now own New England. As somebody said on our podcast, Lost in the Middle, people are still religious in New Hampshire and they still go to church in New Hampshire on Sundays, but they don't talk about it. And that's a very different rhythm of Baptist evangelical churches in the South of America. It's, you know, it's a much more persistent day-to-day hour embrace of prayer and of worship. And that's something the Republicans have clearly embraced and have for the last 30 years. And it served them well and all the way back to Ronald Reagan.
30 seconds, Scott, Tammy Baldwin, also the congressional races, Matt Rothschild, and then Scott Klug. What are your predictions?
I think Tammy's going to win. I just want to echo what Scott said a second ago. I think they've turned the Pfizer Forum into a revival tent over the last few days. And I do object to all this commentary about God intervening, not only to save Trump's life, but to anoint him as the next president of the United States.
Scott Klug?
Well, my answer to Matt is if you don't like it, then don't vote for him. We'll see where Republicans in the country are.
U.S. Senate race.
Yeah, U.S. Senate race. You know, the interesting thing is there was an outburst of ticket splitting.
1 minute left.
I'll hit a time cue, Todd. I used to work in TV. There was a huge outburst of ticket splitting in 2020, right? So Republican governor in Georgia, Democratic senator here in Wisconsin. It was a Democratic governor and a Republican senator. The interesting thing is that in several key battleground states that the Democrats are worried about, the Democratic senators, Tammy being one of them, Sherrod Brown in Ohio, are actually fairly dramatically outpolling Joe Biden at this moment. We'll see what happens when Biden's out of the picture, but I do think there's a potential for people to split their tickets and vote for Trump and vote for somebody to make sure the Senate stays deadlocked.
Our thanks to our panelists tonight, Matt Rothschild and Scott Klug. Also our thanks behind the scenes to Aaron Zahmer, Chris Casper, and Corey Hartman. For Todd Aubaugh, I'm Terry Bell, and you've been listening to special coverage of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Thank you and good night.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, as he does every Friday, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, and we celebrate Daiquiri Day. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Todd Aubaugh Show.
Andrew Hahn, he is a data journalist, and he maps out in this article what makes Wisconsin great. 96% of Wisconsinites live within 30 minutes of Quick Trip.
Wisconsin is one of those places that has a cultural identity that's unique to this place. And when we tell stories like this, it reminds people that we all come from this place and we all share a goal, genuinely, of trying to make this state a better place.
The Todd Aubaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.